Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, April the 13th. Can your imagination and your creativity improve your health and well-being as you age? And can someone remain active in an art or even take one up when he or she is well into the golden years? We're talking past 80 years old. Well, we'll talk with two guests this hour who say absolutely, and they have documented and profiled people in their 80s, 90s, and even 100s who are creating art for the rest of us to enjoy and keeping their own quality of life high in their senior years. The result is the film Do Not Go Gently, which will be seen during the Wisconsin Film Festival this weekend in Madison. And during this hour, we will talk to them and we will welcome your questions. And I hope we will also hear some of your stories of people in your life who are pursuing their dreams, creating their art, using their creativity and imagination, and accomplishing goals at an advanced age. Maybe your stories will inspire others to use creativity as a strategy for aging. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Or you can send us your question or story via email, talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. We are happy to have with us Melissa Godoy. She is director and producer of the film Do Not Go Gently. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us, Eileen Littig, executive producer of the film and Melissa's mom. Good morning.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
I'm great. Eileen Littig and I know each other. You also produce Teen Connection, the series regularly seen on Wisconsin Public Television, right, Eileen?
Yes, I do. And we just had a Teen Connection on Tuesday night about kids that have dreams and goals, so it was it's been quite a week so far.
Yeah, it certainly has on both ends of the aging spectrum.
Yes.
Yeah. Now you're in New York right now. You're joining us both of you from New York City, where you are showing this film at various sites. This is and you're going to come back to Wisconsin to show it at the Wisconsin Film Festival.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me start with you, Melissa. What do you mean by the title, Do Not Go Gently?
Well, it comes from the Dylan Thomas poem, Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night. Mm-hmm. And basically, it was just an instinct in the beginning. You know, what exactly does that mean? And over the years of asking that question, we discovered, in part, what it means. And to our great surprise, part of it is simply the power of imagination. Is a resource that can really sustain us into very, very old age.
Yeah. Why did you pursue this subject?
Well, I can answer that. Many years ago, Melissa and I worked together on a program on elder abuse, and it was a very down program, physical abuse, neglect, and we talked about it, and we said there has to be something more in aging, and there are so many stereotypes about aging, and we felt that we wanted to show the very various positive aspects of aging. In my life, I've done a lot of work with Hmong and also with Native Americans, and I have always found great respect among elders, and it's something that we don't find a great deal in this society when people get into their elder years.
Yeah, and we'll talk about some of the terrific artists that we are introduced to in your film, but you also in the film talk to aging experts who say there is evidence that our imagination, our creativity, are tools in living better lives. Melissa,
right? Dr. Gene Cohen is the world's groundbreaking expert on the aging brain, and he has just decades of experience and research and literally can document how creativity can sustain and even improve our brains, and even really for great artists, make artists capable of some of their best work in their later years. Some of the reason for this simply is when people get older into their 80s and beyond, they have a sense of freedom, a great freedom, which is wonderful for artistic expression. And there's a perspective of age, which allows one to see whole life, you know, in perspective, but also just the continual act of creation creates resources in the brain. Dendrites, buildup of dendrites that, you know, are a resource to prevent the onset of Alzheimer's. It can't completely prevent Alzheimer's, but for people who are prone to it, it can delay it a little bit. Interestingly, dance, of all things, dance seems to have an incredible effect on delaying the onset of Alzheimer's.
Interesting. Maybe because there's the exercise, physical part of that is involved?
Part of it is that, and also dancers know one of the greatest muscles that work in dance is the brain. It's learning the steps and concentrating and being in the moment. And it's also the brain-body interaction.
Well, what about those of us who are klutzes or not very artistic? Are we doomed?
Oh, no, not at all.
No, you're not doomed. And one of the things that Dr. Cohen says in the film is that we have to make our brain sweat as we get older. And one of the things that helps do that would be like crossword puzzles and keeping active and thinking and stuff like that. So that is one of the things. So when your brain is sweating, you're doing something, he says.
Right. And Dr. Cohen brings up the point is that living is a creative act. So anybody who creates a great recipe or sets a beautiful table or, you know, writes letters to their grandchildren, that's a creative act. And that's the sort of thing that will help in any way.
We're talking about the imagination and creativity and passion and vigor that seniors can and do use, and how we do not have to sit on the porch swing and watch life pass us by as we grow older. We're talking with the creators of the documentary Do Not Go Gently, a film that is slated to play this weekend at the Wisconsin Film Festival. And we're welcoming your questions about the power of creativity and imagination in the aging process, and perhaps your own illustrations of it. Maybe a tribute to someone you know, someone who is not going gently. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, April the 13th. Jean Purcell is in for Ben Marins this afternoon between 4 and 6. After 4, your views on the news. Jean Purcell hosting for Ben Marins. We'll also be reviewing the news of the week a little later this morning in our 8 o'clock hour with two guests from different perspectives. And lots of news to review this week after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're celebrating, in a way, the power of imagination and creativity in the aging process. Talking with the filmmakers of the film Do Not Go Gently, Don't Go Gently into Old Age. And we're welcoming your stories about people that you know that are not going gently, perhaps people who are pursuing their dreams, who are creating art, who are using their creativity and imaginations and accomplishing their goals at an advanced age. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Come on, you can play tribute to someone, or maybe tell us what you yourself are doing to try to live life to its fullest as you grow older. Melissa Godoy is director and producer of the film Do Not Go Gently, and Eileen Littig is the executive producer of the film. The film is slated to play on Sunday afternoon, 3:45, at the Wisconsin Film Festival at the Bartell Theater in Madison. Right now, Eileen Littig and Melissa Godoy are in New York showing the film, and we'll be back in Wisconsin this weekend. Let's talk a little bit about some of the people that we meet in the film. You introduce us to an 82-year-old quilter in Alabama. Melissa, what's the story there?
Well, Arlonzia Petway was selected because she is one of the eldest quilters of the G's Bend. The quilters of G's Bend, Alabama, which have had this famed, extraordinary tour across the United States and have been recognized for producing some of the greatest examples of modern art America has produced. But the question was, you know, what is it like? How do they live how does a whole community, generations of community, what is the ethos in their community that allows them to do this? So I went down with a crew, and we, you know, stayed there. We stayed in their homes for a few days and got to know them and followed a day in the life of our Landia Petway. And it was just fascinating how she wakes up in the morning. That's the first thing on her mind. She has a good breakfast, starts to think about her quilts. Actually, she's thinking about them while she's sleeping. And then she goes and she goes to this nutrition center in G's Bend, which is just a kind of a social service place where people can get lunch and whatnot. But it's very, very well done, just very simple. And she meets with younger quilters are very eager to learn from her. Her whole day, she goes to church. Her spirituality is a big part of her quilt making. The quilters sing while they quilt. They sing spirituals. Mm-hmm. And she has long lifetime friends. And it's just the sort of thing that's been passed down over generations from her great-grandmother onward. But each successive generation, the quilting has taken on new meaning and has become stylized differently. Every quilter has a different, has their signature look. It's just very, the ethos in G's Bend, Alabama is really the perfect place to retire.
Mm. And Joy, I wanted to say that the quilts have been in Wisconsin. They were at the Milwaukee Art Museum. And just recently, they were at the Payne Art Center in Oshkosh, and they are traveling around the country, and they really rival modern art. They're just gorgeous, gorgeous quilts. And she talks about what quilting means to her and why she's still doing it. She's the eldest quilter in G's Bend.
Yeah, I do remember when that exhibit came here. It's critically acclaimed, and that brings up the point that our elders can be creating this gorgeous art for all of us to enjoy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How about the 109-year-old composer?
Well, that was Leo Ornstein, and he was a Russian-born Jew, and he was a classical music prodigy, and he immigrated to the United States at the age of 13, and he was living in a nursing home in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and this is how the project really began, mm-hmm. and Melissa interviewed him when he was 103. We really didn't have any money to begin this project, and Melissa reminded me last night that she wrote a check for $200, which began to pay for a videographer to start mm-hmm. the project. And over the time, we continued to interview him, and then he died at 109. Melissa, maybe you want to continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really a privilege to meet him at 103, and the idea that we weren't even producing this particular program, it was another program, actually, and the tape sat under a desk for 6 years. We were just busy, and we didn't have any funding to continue and whatnot, but over time, as we decided to go ahead with this idea, we went back to him, and it was just interesting how he, even at 109, he still was original, fearless, humorous, all these wonderful things that really made him who he was, and really who he was considered the godfather of modern music. He was the one of the great minds of the 20th century that created that modern sound. But here he was in a nursing home in Green Bay, Wisconsin, humming in his room, humming in his bed. Mm-hmm. And it was just fascinating to me that he was still composing. And actually, he composed his last piece, the Piano Sonata Number 8, in his late 90s. And in the film, we show the contrast between his first pieces, which were considered radical. They were called Wild Man's Dance and Suicide in an Airplane, and they were this whole new sound that some people considered noise, and that we take for granted now. But in his later years, his music changed over time, and what I really like about his segment is that he says, one must be careful not to become obsessed with one's own style. So he allowed himself over his lifetime to change, and his last music is very romantic, and you can hear the grief in it. It has a lifetime of sounds in it. It has sounds of Russian childhood and love for his wife, and it's the story really is told through his music.
Right, and in the film we have Mark Andre Hamlin happens to be playing his pieces, and we were fortunate enough to get him to play the pieces. He was performing in New York, I believe, at Columbia University, And it's a very, very positive portrayal and the history of Russia. And here he was in this nursing home in Green Bay, and he was one of the first modernists. It was remarkable.
Well, Marc-André Hamelin is a Grammy Award-winning pianist, and there are just a few pianists in the world who can really play Leo Ornstein's early music well because it was so wild and crazy. But Marc-André Hamelin's a virtuoso. So Marc-André Hamelin, because Leo died early in the process and wasn't playing the piano when we interviewed him, he sort of stands in and fills in for the personality of Leo. Mm. So Leo talks, and we cut to Mark playing, and it's very alive.
And then one of the things that he says, and maybe some people in the radio audience can relate that, the meaning of life is life itself. I mean, how life is lived. And he says that.
Yeah.
After thinking about it, I mean, at 109, mm-hmm. the meaning of life.
Well, I kept asking him, because I was only in my 30s at the time, I kept asking him, well, what is the meaning of life? What do you think? And finally, you know, he got exasperated, and he finally said, I think searching for this meaning of life is extraneous. Life as we lead it is meaning.
Right.
There, I was just reminded when Peter Donalds, who's filling in for Kathleen Dunn this morning, is going to be doing a program on Kurt Vonnegut, who mm-hmm. died this week. I saw Kurt Vonnegut make a statement that I think that both of you might take issue with. He made some sort of statement that a man's best writing happens before he is 55.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was interesting because the New York Times had an article this past week. It was the front page article, and author was discovered, and he was writing his first book was when he was 94. And so that's very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, he actually said in this article that he could not have written this book unless he was in his 90s because of life situations.
Mm-hmm.
That he had to work to support himself and just the time it took to gather that information and focus it and really put out a wonderful book.
Yeah. And once you show your film, too, I understand there often are Q&As and discussions with audience members about creativity, imagination, and the aging process.
Right, and we're very fortunate on Sunday at the Bartell Theater at 3:45, Dr. Ann Basting will be there. And she's the director on the Center on Age and Community, and she's written a number of books on Alzheimer's and the early onset of Alzheimer's. And it will be wonderful to have her because she will be discussing some of the brain research. I also wanted to say that anyone in the viewing audience that wanted to read Dr. Cohen's book that was recently published, it's called The Mature Mind by Dr. Gene Cohen. But we're very anxious to have Dr. Ann Basting with us at the Q&A at the Film Festival on Sunday.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Eileen Liddick, who is executive producer of the film Do Not Go Gently, and Melissa Godoy, who is director and producer of the film. It's a film that talks about the power of creativity and imagination in the aging process, how it can help us live better lives. 1-800-642-1234. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Friday, April the 13th. We're talking with two filmmakers about a documentary that chronicles the power and the importance of imagination and creativity in the aging process. A film that illustrates that art and accomplishment know no age limits. It's called Do Not Go Gently. And it's going to be playing this weekend at the Wisconsin Film Festival. And we wonder this hour, are you retired right now? How do you keep your brain active and your life full? What do you do? And if you're approaching retirement, what is it that you're looking forward to doing now that the confines of a 9-to-5 job will be behind you? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm also looking for perhaps your stories of people that you know who are accomplishing their goals in their advanced years, who are still pursuing their dreams, creating their art, using their imagination, their creativity. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our two guests profiled a number of these people in this documentary, people in their 80s, 90s, and 100s who are creating art for the rest of us and keeping their own quality of life high. And also in Do Not Go Gently, talking with various experts about how important it is to keep our brains active and our imaginations going. It helps in the aging process, helps the quality of life, improves our health and well-being. Let's go. We do have one caller on the phone to talk with Eileen Littig, executive producer of the film, and Melissa Godoy, who is the director and producer of the film. Andy in Jefferson. Hi, Andy. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to point out a magazine that celebrates the lives of older athletes well into their 90s, all different sports, and it talks about their life and the different things that they do. And that's a magazine called Geezer Jock.
My husband gets it. So,
and it's a very inspiring magazine. You listen to the stories of people in all different types of sports that you know, give their stories to this magazine.
Yeah, there are people who are in their 80s and 90s and probably even more than that who are running marathons and staying very physically active.
And you see that all the time in the newspaper of athletes, particularly, as you said, Joy, particularly runners that are in their 80s and still doing it.
Yeah, hopefully their knees will hold out better than my husband's. But Andy, thanks very much for that. We talked about the quilter and the composer. You also profiled a 90-year-old former dancer and dance instructor, ballet instructor.
Yeah, actually, he's still dancing.
He's still. Mm-hmm.
He's 92, Frederick Franklin, and we met him last night. He came to the. He's been with Melissa in Cincinnati when we showed the film, but he was at the National Arts Club with us last night, and his spirit, he's a true joy. Melissa, go on.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he's one of the ballet dancers that was instrumental to bringing ballet to America through the Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo. He started, one of his first roles in the Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo was called The Spirit of Creation in Seventh Symphony. And in this film, he's shown teaching that role to a younger dancer. Now Freddie's 90 in the film, and he's teaching that role, The Spirit of Creation. And it's very interesting because that's what he does now, is he gives back to ballet. He's been giving intensely since he was 31, and he was at a crossroad. He was trying to decide whether to retire or to go on in ballet. And he makes that definite decision due to some advice by George Balanchine. And so really, from the age of 31 onward to the present, he has gone very strong teaching ballets to younger dancers, coaching, running companies, and that's a creative process. But what's interesting is what the younger dancers pick up from him, and they do very much pick up this energy. He has a remarkable mind. He has one of the world's greatest memories. He can remember steps that, you know, he learned in the 30s.
Yeah, and I don't recall the name of there was an architect.
Yeah, Donald McLaughlin, who was on the team that designed the United Nations emblem. And he's seen briefly, he's in his late 90s now, and he entered the contest for the World Trade Center design. Mm-hmm.
And it was exciting to us because we were at LaGuardia College yesterday presenting the film, and we were on a panel with a gentleman that's an architect, and he said, "Oh my goodness, he studied with this architect, and it was just so exciting to him that that was his protege."
Oh, good. We have lots of callers now who want to share stories or ask questions. Kathy in Humbard is with us first. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I just like to tell the story that of my husband and I. We retired a year ago. He retired from 35 years in the post office, and we had this retirement dream that we always wanted to buy an old farmhouse and remodel it. And we had never really done much of that kind of thing, but we found a place, and it turned out to be a little worse than we expected. But we moved all of our stuff into storage and lived like hippies all summer. We slept on a mattress on the floor. We totally gutted our house, an old farmhouse, and stripped all the woodwork. And finally, we have it finished, and now we feel like we want to do it again. But it was a wonderful experience for us to live outside of the box. And I think the greatest thing brought us really close together, and my husband learned so much here. He was a man who never really did a lot of work like that and rewired the whole house and put in new plumbing, and we just learned by doing. And a lot of our friends are just astounded, and they think we're crazy. But
well, that'll make your brain sweat and your body sweat, won't
right.
it?
Right, and we both found part-time jobs. Yeah. Moving to a new area, that was another thing that was kind of difficult for us after living in with same friends and friends from our church, and all of a sudden move into a completely new neighborhood and find a new church. And we both found new jobs, and really made us appreciate things and appreciate each other. And it, just like young people, we felt it was such a big change for us. There were times we'll say it was really difficult, but I think in the long run it was fun, and now we're looking around for more things like that to do. So.
You're gonna start flipping houses in your 80s?
Yeah, you might go into farming. Our son would like to start farming, and he's interested in the CSA farms, and so we're kind of interested in trying to do that. But I never thought we'd be doing something like this when we were 60 years old, but it does keep you young.
Yeah, let me get a reaction from our guests.
I wanted to say that our Alonze Petway, one of the things that, and it strikes me, the caller said that she still feels like a young girl, even though her knees hurt and everything else. And I think that's one of the things that we found with the people in their 80s, 90s, and 100s, is that your body may age, but you still feel young inside. And I think that's what you're doing with building the house. You have that energy and just feeling great.
Yeah, and that's terrific. It sounds so exciting. That's another really important point that actually isn't brought out in the film so much, but it's really important to understand that retirement is now just, it's an open door for another, you know, to fulfill some dreams that weren't possible before. And I applaud you so much for taking that risk. It sounds very exciting, and the way you described it. As living out of the box.
Yeah, and while many of the people you profile are well into their 80s, 90s, and beyond, what we talked about briefly in the first half hour is that as you get older, you kind of lose that that sense of fear, and you become maybe a little riskier.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And as a matter of fact, one thing we point out in the film, too, we kind of go deeper and deeper into the human brain. When people get into very advanced stages, there's actually changes in the amygdala of the brain that favors positive emotions and screens out somewhat negative emotions. And that helps explain why people of later ages have wonderful morale.
We're talking with two filmmakers, the creators of the documentary Don't Go Gently. It's Don't Go Gently into Old Age. Melissa Godoy is director and producer of the film. Eileen Littig is the executive producer of the film. She's also Melissa's mom. The film will be played at the Wisconsin Film Festival, the Bartell Theater in Madison, at 3:45 on Sunday afternoon, this Sunday afternoon. We welcome your questions for our guest. We welcome your stories about not going gently. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock, coming up after 7. We are going to talk about new reports that are suggesting that voter fraud was not as widespread as previously thought, and we'll talk about all the politics of voter fraud coming up after 7 o'clock. We're talking with Melissa Godoy and Eileen Littig, who are the producers of the film Do Not Go Gently, which chronicles the power of imagination and creativity as we age. And Edith in Green Bay is with us next. Hi, Edith. You're on the air.
Thank you. I have a friend who lives in Madison and decided to keep her brain active. She was in her late 60s and decided to sign up at the university for a very intensive course in modern Hebrew.
Wow.
And the course met for 4 weeks, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. It was very intensive. And the only other people in the course were young men who were studying to become rabbis. And although she worked very, very hard, it paid off because she ended up with an A for the course and one of the highest grades in the class. And yet she was more than three times the age of the young men who were in the course with her. So I thought this was a great tribute to her, and she was not in any danger of getting Alzheimer's anytime soon.
Oh, wow, good for her. You want to give her a public shout-out here? Or do you want to name her or not?
Well, maybe she'd rather not.
Okay, all right. Your reaction?
She was a professor of pediatrics at the university and a geneticist.
We are very fortunate, Joy, because we are Edith is Leo Ornstein's daughter.
Oh.
And so we, and maybe she would like to shed some light on her father. We worked very closely with Edith when we were producing the film. And the film is going to be showing in Green Bay June 14th and June 22nd in Milwaukee. Edith?
Oh, I can just say my father always used to say he should charge me for the jeans he gave me.
Yeah, and was it Edith's father that said the meaning of life is life itself?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you very much, Edith, for joining the program.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, that was an interesting comment, though, Edith, because it really is challenging to learn a new language, especially later in life. But it's a wonderful challenge. And one thing just to point out too, that these are all wonderful ways to keep ourselves healthy physically and mentally, and we can perhaps delay the onset of certain illnesses, but some things just right now have no cure. For example, Alzheimer's disease does not have a cure. It can be delayed, though. But it's very interesting, in the film we do show some ways that people are working with people with Alzheimer's disease to make the quality of their lives better, and that is by using imaginative tools, for example, discussing poetry, doing musical activities. All kinds of artistic activities access a part of the brain, the imagination, which is still there. It's still durable, even if as memories are fading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would like to say that we worked with Arts for the Aging in Washington, D.C., and in fact, we're going to be showing Do Not Go Gently May 10th at the Corcoran Museum in Washington. But we're working with two artists from Arts for the Aging, and they will be coming to Green Bay on June 11th and are going to be working in six senior centers and nursing homes, particularly with dance and poetry. And then we will showcase some of the work on June 14th at the Meyer Theater, and then a show Do Not Go Gently. So we are very excited, and we received funding to do this, which was fantastic, from the Wisconsin Arts Board, from our community foundation. And it was just lovely. Now that we're able to bring this to elders in Green Bay.
Oh, that's one. I'm sure that we're going to get a number of people who are going to wonder about the various dates and events that you've mentioned, Eileen and Melissa. Do you have is there a website or something that might have some of this information on it?
Yes, there is. Mm-hmm. That would be donotgogently.com. And it's actually not going to, right now it's just one page, but the full site probably will be up this weekend.
Yeah. When you mentioned the Alzheimer's patients and the use of the arts, poetry, dance, and singing, it reminded me of my mother. Now, she did not have Alzheimer's, but she did have a very serious stroke that completely affected her language center, and I'm sure she couldn't speak, but she could hum and loved music, and you could see that it was it gave her such joy, and she could still really appreciate and be involved when singing was there. And there is something with singing and the brain, isn't there?
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's interesting. You, she's fortunate that you, you know, you recognize that she enjoyed that.
Yeah. We'll go now to Eugene and Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Joy. Good
morning.
I'm like about a year and a half away from 70.
Well,
and I still
happy
get out.
Birthday.
Well, I'm just, I still get out and I'm active. I can still climb, and this fall I'll probably be picking apples again. And I also applied for a teaching job down in New Orleans. If that doesn't come through, I'm going back to maybe going back to school in lacrosse this fall to pick up some credits. And physically, I'm in good shape. I can still cover 100 in about 16 seconds.
Wow!
And I can still move. Mm-hmm. And I run a shoeshine stand during the summer. And this weekend, I'm doing an event up in La Crosse, an antique show up there. And I run that all summer long, and I've had it for 53 years. And that stand will go until I am gone. And I don't make any money at it, please believe me. But it is a lot of fun. I get out and I still climb. And I get around and I move. And I also do a lot of reading. I probably go through about 75 or 100 books in a year's time.
Yeah, and
pretty much. And I just don't sit around.
Yeah, you're not. Eugene's not going gently either, Eileen.
You're right. No, I'm not going gently either. I retired, and I'm continuing doing Teen Connection and doing a program on women, children, and poverty. And I think one has to do with what one loves. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes us alive. And I can hear from our caller in his voice how alive he is. And and that's what does it. I mean, you're alive. What else is there?
The reading is good, too. He mentioned reading.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that Leo Ornstein did. And actually, that's something that in the poetry group in Washington, just the reading of poetry, reading is so good for the brain. And just congratulations. Keep that going.
Thanks, Eugene, for calling. And thanks to Eugene. He has every fall pledge drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio has brought in boxes of apples to share with the staff and the volunteers as his contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. So thanks to Eugene. Candy and Barron, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I made the comment about going to school, and you put me back on hold. I wasn't sure why.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought
that's okay.
Well, I put you on hold after you made your comment so we could hear from our guests, but then you didn't hang up, so I got you again.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
did you have another
comment?
This
is really wonderful. I've known people that have gone to school until they're in their 80s, and it's just, I think we need to do more of it. I work in an Alzheimer's memory group.
Oh, you know what, Candy? You haven't been on the air yet. You just talked to our producer before you, our producer talks to you before, and then she puts you on hold, and now you're on the air.
All right. Okay, thanks. And I work in a memory care unit, and I see that, a lot of these people keep trying, but it's really hard, and I hope, I've been going to school. I'm going to my master's studies right now, and I'll be 60 years old this year. And my great aunts and uncles all live to be close to 90. One aunt was 102, and at 60 years old, I still have 40 years to go.
Oh.
If I give up now, I've got a lot of years of boring life ahead of me, and so I'm going to go kicking and screaming.
Candy, I love it. 40 years is a long time to be bored, Melissa.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, one of the things that in the Green Bay area, they have the learning and retirement, and I was really fortunate this year to teach three sessions of learning in retirement, and people in the classes were in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. And it was so exciting to me to work with the people in the 70s. They had wonderful questions. They were enthusiastic. They wanted to learn. And I think that, like, learning in retirement also, where people go back to school and they can taste many things.
Yeah. And John Munson in Superior, who is our regional manager for Wisconsin Public Radio for Northern Wisconsin and sometimes fills in on this program, did send an email to, I think, pay a little bit of tribute to his mother, who just turned 88 last month. And he reports that she still works out at a local gym 3 days a week, keeps her own house, travels, and leads a very active lifestyle. She didn't retire until she was in her late 70s. So she's not going gently either.
No. Yeah. That's wonderful.
So we will see the film and hear a Q&A and be able to meet both of you on Sunday at the Wisconsin Film Festival, 3:45 at the Bartell Theater.
And
thanks.
And that's absolutely right. And they people that want to get tickets, they can get tickets. Can I announce the number?
Sure, but yeah, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, 877-963-3456.
And we appreciate it. Eileen Littig, thank you very much for being with us. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you so much. It's great.
And Melissa Godoy, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Melissa Godoy is the director and producer of Do Not Go Gently. Eileen Littig, executive producer of the film, also Melissa's mom. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing the hour and for on-air production. Thank you very much for listening and for calling in with your stories and your tributes. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.